This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, welcome this morning and greetings to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. And again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. I hope you'll visit the website. You'll see the radio program there. You can listen to it. You'll see a weekly meditation there. And if you would like to leave me prayer requests, or if you would like to be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, you'll want to contact me. And you can do that either through the website, or you can do it through regular mail, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. So if you want them, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down. Now, again, we're going to continue today in Luke chapter 6, and we're really looking at the condensed Sermon on the Mount, or the information that at least was given in the Sermon on the Mount. And as we closed last time, we were looking at the issue of judging not, that you'll not be judged, condemning not, that you might not be condemned. And we noted that really what the Lord is talking about is being a hypocrite. In other words, not judging in a way that you would not want to be judged, and condemning not in a way that you would not want to be condemned, and being honest that you needed forgiveness and so you need to forgive others. Now, I've mentioned over and over again that we're not saved by works, but we're saved unto good works. The good works that we do are a reflection of the fact that we would like to please the Lord after we're saved. I had a man once who used to preach with me, and people would ask him if he could do anything he wanted to after he was saved, because those of us, he and I at least, believe that once you were saved, you are always saved. And we also believe that you could do nothing to earn your salvation, though you could do much to please the Lord after you were saved. And so he would say, people would ask him, can you do anything you want to after you're saved and still be saved? And he'd say, I sure can. I can do absolutely anything I want to do, because now that I'm saved, there's been a change in me, and now I want to please the Lord. I don't want to please self. I want to please the Lord. Now, we all know self comes into our lives. We can't get away from the old nature. It's always there. The Bible calls it the flesh. And so we know we have those old appetites. We have those old problems. We have difficulty with them. But the standard is clear, and those who are Christians have a conscience about sin, and they like living up to a standard that helps them reflect Christ, as we said at the end of the last program, to a dying world. And so hypocritical judging has to go out. We can't be pointing the finger at somebody else and then without recognizing that while we may not commit their sins, there are other sins that we commit. And the sin that religious people often commit is the sin of self-righteousness and pride. And so it's so easy for us to be proud of the fact that we have it together, where a dying world seems to reject Christ. And we need to maintain a sense of humility and remember that those of us who are true Christians, we're only sinners saved by grace, and we have been shown mercy, and we have been forgiven, and we have nothing to be proud of. And while we need to maintain the standard of righteousness and preach it clearly, we need to remember that we ourselves have never attained to it, not before we were saved, and that's why we needed to be saved. And after we are saved, we may sin less, but we certainly are not sinless. And so as we begin to look at these standards, one of the standards is that we should give in verse 38, and it will be given to you. I'm reading from Luke chapter 6 now, and starting at verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shaken down and running over will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you again. And again, he's referring back to this issue of judging in a hypocritical way and condemning in a hypocritical way and not being willing to forgive, because the standard that we use for others is a standard that's going to come back to haunt us. When we demand a standard of righteousness from others, as the Jewish Pharisees did, a standard that they did not achieve, then it's going to come back to haunt us in our own relationship with others and in our relationship with the Lord. So we are to give, and it will be given to you. And it's interesting to me that one of the evidences of maturity is that we move from being takers to givers. A toddler takes. They take your time, they take your energy, they take your money, they take everything. The world circulates around them. But as they get older, they start learning how to do chores around the house and contributing to the household, and they become givers. And by the time we reach old age, those who were toddlers are now the ones who are caregivers to their parents. And that's the way life works. And the question is, have we matured enough so that we are giving back where we have received? That's part of not being a hypocrite. It's part of growing up. So then he says in verse 39, he spoke a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? And this is a very interesting statement, because when we preach the gospel, it's often true that people who perhaps have never been acquainted with their Bibles, have never in their churches been asked to open their Bibles, begin to read it. And then they go back to an unsaved pastor, and I say that kindly, but to a pastor who has never had the experience of being saved or regenerated or born again, and ask them whether the things we're telling them are true. And it's often true that those pastors will tell people, you can't know for sure that you're saved. And it's interesting that they're blind leaders of the blind. They say you can't know that until you die. But isn't it interesting that when you go to a funeral of one of their congregants who they have told that those people cannot know for sure they're saved, we tell people you can know that for sure, because when you depend on the promises of God, when you depend on what Christ has done for you, you're depending on an ironclad promise, and God's character is at stake. And if he says if you believe on the Lord, you're saved, then if you believe on the Lord, you're saved. But these people have said you can't know for sure you're saved. But at their funerals, they always know for sure the person is saved. And I've always marveled at that. I tell people that I want you to know for sure you're saved before you die. And at your funeral, I'm going to tell people what you have trusted in if you are in heaven today, but I'm not going to tell people that you're in heaven. Your life should have told them that. I might tell them that that's my conviction, but that's really something that I leave between them and the Lord at the funeral. But I tell people that if this person is in heaven, they have believed the truth that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So you can see clearly that we have blind leaders of the blind who say you can't know for sure before you're saved and or before you die, and then when you die they seem to know for sure, and it makes no sense to me. And they should think that through, because the Bible says, these things I have written unto you that believe, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You can look that up in 1 John 5 and verse 13. So people will go to their pastors and will ask them, and sometimes their pastors will just tell them, look, if anybody's saved, you're saved. And they won't deal with a sin issue. They won't deal with the fact that everyone must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now listen, if you are listening to my voice today and you're hearing for the first time that the Bible says you can be saved and sure of it, and you would like to have that peace, you make sure, if you want help along these lines, that you go to somebody who they themselves can tell you that they know when they trusted Christ, they know when they were born again, and they know that they're going to heaven. Go to somebody who believes that the Bible is the very word of God. Don't go to somebody who questions it. You need to make sure that you go to somebody who knows what they're talking about. You wouldn't go to a mechanic if you didn't believe that he knew cars. Why would you go to somebody, no matter how educated they may seem to be, why would you go to somebody who doesn't know the Lord to ask them about spiritual things? Remember, it's your soul that's at stake, and it's your destiny for eternity. There are many people out there who claim to be religious experts, but they are blind. They don't understand the simple truth of why Christ came into this world, why he died, why he was buried, and why he was raised again. They really don't believe that he's coming again. And if you press them, they don't believe in the miracles of the Bible. They don't believe in divine inspiration. And in many cases, they'll tell you that the Bible contains the Word of God, and it's a good book, but it is not divinely inspired, and not everything in it should be taken as divine truth. But I don't believe that. I believe that the Bible is the very God-breathed Word of God, and that we can depend on what it says. So don't allow yourself to be deceived by somebody who themselves have been deceived by Satan, who do not believe in the truth of Scripture. Now, I want you to understand that I know that there are many religious leaders out there that understand what I'm saying, and I reverence them, and I thank God for them, but make sure you find one of them to talk to. Find somebody who understands and reverences the Scripture and has a love for the Lord and who knows they're saved. Talk to them about these things. Do not allow an unbelieving religious person like a Pharisee to mislead you into making a bad choice and mislead you into turning away from the Lord. If you go to somebody like that, oftentimes they'll tell you, come to church, take communion, get baptized, but those are not the things that save. The things that what saves is faith in the Lord Jesus, and it's faith alone in the Lord Jesus that saves. And so we need to make sure that we go and talk to people who are in fact truly born again and in love with the Lord, and who have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. And we need to get our answers from them and not from people who may be educated, but who do question in their minds, do question the simple truth that you can be saved and know it. You know that because God has given us promises, and we depend on those promises. So remember again that he says, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? So you can see that you need somebody who knows where they're going. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And folks, being saved is an eye-opening experience. Your eyes are open to your sinnership, and then your eyes are open to the love of God and to the death of Christ and to the value of his promises. And dear friend, don't fall into the ditch. Make sure that you are listening to God as the Word of God is presented by those who believe in the truth of Scripture. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be his teacher. And so you need to find those people who understand the truth of Scripture and believe it. And you too then can find that same peace. It's a grand thing to be saved. It's a grand thing to be saved and to know it too and to show it too. It's a grand thing to be saved. And I hope that you're saved even today. We just thank thee for listening. Now again, our Heavenly Father, bless this program and bless the gospel that people might be reached and saved in these last days before the Lord comes. We thank thee for thy love and commit the truth of this program and the truth of the gospel to you as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen. Now our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com. And again, we do thank you for listening.